Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Bucher and Friends podcast, co-starring 10-year NFL veteran and Super Bowl champion, Will Blackman.
Manning from the end zone, he throws, and it's deflected away, and it is picked off by Will Blackman, the former Giant.
Tim Dwight watches it hit, bounces, picks it up at the 10, slips a defender, fumbles the football, it's up for grabs, it's covered in the end zone by Will Blackman for a Green Bay touchdown!
And now, here is your host.
Let's send it over to Rick Bucher.
Rick Bucher.
Welcome to a Super Bowl edition of Bucher and Blackman, subsidiary of Bucher and Friends, part of the United WeCast Network. I'm Rick Bucher. You can see me on FS1. You can read me on Bleacher Report. You can hear me on Radio.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Rick Bucher and on Instagram at Rick_Bucher. He is Super Bowl champ Will Blackman, NFL vet. You can see him on FS1 as well. You can hear him on Fox Radio. And you can follow him on Twitter and Instagram at Will Blackman. And you can also get on his VIP wine list, his subscription wine list. And it's all the talk. It's all the rage from what I'm hearing among wine people. Check out NFL Wine Guy. That is Will. So the shock of shocks, I have an annual Super Bowl party, Will, and everybody was happy that this was a much more entertaining game and halftime than what we saw last year. You, however, were not as entertained as you expected to be.
But that's my own doing. That was me. I literally was expecting, you know, launches.
Yeah.
I was expecting a high-scoring game.
So the over-under was 54 points, and most people thought, wow, with the way the 49ers defense is and the Chiefs defense, the way it's been playing, that it would be hard to get to that. So were you expecting a lot of points, or were you just expecting a lot of highlight plays, a lot of back and forth, maybe not necessarily always ending up in a lot of points and touchdowns, but that there was going to be a little more offensive drama?
Yeah, I was expecting a little more, but I understood watching the game that these two teams, not to sound obvious, but desperately wanted to win, so they were a little conservative and were being smart. It was like, hey, we know if the other team gets the advantage, then it's going to be tough, especially if Kansas City, you know, is rolling, then it's going to be hard to go touchdown for touchdown with them. Even though they've done it before, this is the Niners, they've done it before with the against the Saints, but this is a different beast here. So I was expecting a lot more. Overall, yes, I thought it was a good Super Bowl. The game, the teams, the energy, the entire week, the halftime show, like everything was cool. Everything was good. I was expecting just a lot more from just both sides of the ball.
The week seemed very muted, and
right,
I would attribute that to Kobe Bryant.
Totally,
to the loss of Kobe Bryant. That overshadowed.
It was hard to get up the next day and go and do your job and talk sports and be excited for the game when something that drastic happened.
Do you think? I mean, we think of, you know, we saw the basketball universe impacted by it. And I do want to talk a little bit about the first game that the Lakers played against the Blazers and everything that that happened with that. I don't want to make this just about the Super Bowl, and we're not going to just make it about the game, because there's something, there was another event, another incident that you were very hyped about that we do have to get to, which is Tom Brady's commercial. But all that said, you were talking about that conservative approach, and a lot of people are pointing to the approach of the 49ers at the end of the first half, that they did not burn all their timeouts attempting to put points on the board. They still had, I think, two left in their pocket. Kyle Shanahan did. And Jimmy Garoppolo ended up taking a knee with about 6 seconds left just
that's
to run
I'm
the
saying.
Clock out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, there was no one was being aggressive that game. Now, there were two times where Jimmy Garoppolo did have a long throw. He had a long completion to Kittle's, but it was called offensive pass interference, and then he missed Emmanuel Sanders, who was wide open over the middle.
Right. So I was in a, obviously I live in the Bay Area, so I had at my party, I had a very pro 49ers crowd.
Of course you did.
I was pulling for the Chiefs because I grew up as a Raiders fan, and I've just never really felt the 49ers. And Andy Reid, Kansas City Chiefs, Midwestern boy, that being me, born and raised in the Midwest.
You just pulled for Andy Reid, though. I feel like the whole football world was hoping. Like, if the Niners won, cool. But if, like, Andy Reid really deserved this one.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like Mahomes and this Chiefs team, I can't say they deserved it more than the 49ers. I thought the 49ers overall had the most talent. Am I wrong on that? Basically, and this is a
yes,
way oversimplification.
You are
wrong. I thought
wrong.
The 49ers had the most talent. I thought Patrick Mahomes could be the X factor that would negate the advantage that they had. Maybe him. I don't know.
I say yes, you are wrong.
Okay. So were the Chiefs the more talented team, or was it just
yeah,
so close?
Yeah, They were a more talented team, and they had the better coach. I mean, quarterback for quarterback, I mean, Mahomes obviously is clear cut
right.
winner there.
Right.
Running back overall, I mean, I like Damian Williams better than Mozart. I like him better than Breida, and I like him better than Coleman. Damian Williams, they've got a steal. I think they signed him for a really cheap deal this offseason. And then Kelce and Kittle, neck and neck.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of who you want. Most of right now. Right now, people say Kelce's the guy.
Yeah. Kittle wasn't – I don't think he was 100%. So,
right.
Speaking of which, that particular play, did you think it was offensive pass interference? Because that was a huge – I mean, that was a monstrous play.
It was a monstrous play. But the referees, they watch tape. They have meetings, and they go into a game knowing the emphasis. And the biggest thing that happened this postseason is the non-call from Kyle Rudolph. When he pushed off with the game winner.
Right.
Like that was obvious, clear as day, and people were really livid about that versus the Saints. And so, ironically, this is the same staff
that didn't make that call.
Yeah, they didn't make the call versus the Saints
right.
and the Rams.
Right.
So I'm sure that was emphasized when that happened. And so if there is anything, I'm sure in the meeting they were like, if you see any kind of like the head go back –
right.
The Paul Pierce head go back.
Right.
Then throw it. And it was, you know.
He stiff-armed him. He held him off to be able to make that catch.
He held him off first, and then he pushed him the second time.
Yeah. No, it wasn't – my guests weren't happy, but I was the guy over in the corner going, that was a good call. nobody was verbally agreeing with me, but they also weren't protesting loudly. So the other play that struck me was, well, in general, was the fact that the 49ers, once they had the lead, once they went up 20-10, they still ran a very balanced offense. They threw the ball a lot more than maybe I would have expected. I would have expected them to try to bleed the clock. And they didn't. And I wonder, were you okay with their play calling as you watched the game, or are you thinking Mostert averaged almost 5 yards a carry? Samuel had only a couple carries, but gained big yardage. Did they miss an opportunity of not keeping the ball out of Casey's hands?
No, and it's funny you say that, because I just saw a quote from Tyrann Mathieu, Honey Badger, and he was saying, this is not exact quote, but he was kind of happy that they stopped running the ball. He was a little he's relieved that they started throwing the ball more.
I would think so, because their run game was a handful. They physically beat you up. Even their backs seem to physically beat people. Like, just they're dishing out as much contact as they're taking.
Right.
It felt as if Kyle and this is, you know, look, obviously the teams are very close, a lot on the line. It felt as if Kyle's inexperience got exposed. There was just a couple decisions that I thought, you need to be aggressive in this situation, and he wasn't. Or you need to, I don't know, play with a certain degree of confidence. I keep going back to Bill O'Brien and the mixed, when the Texans lost, where I'm going to go for it. Oh, now I'm going to kick the field goal. Now I'm going to go for it. Like that, those decisions.
Did you feel like he was trying not to mess it up?
Kyle.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. It was almost like, yes. Like, let me just go by the book so that, and I don't say that this was his thinking, was so that I can't be held accountable for some dramatic decision I made. Let me just play it safe. And instead of doing something inspired, okay, which would have been, like, going for it at the end of the second, get up, go into halftime leading 13-10. And I'm sure a lot of people are going to say, well, they still took the lead. They still went up 20-10 after that. It was 10-10 at halftime. But you'd have a better sense of this than me. Does the team get something from the coach's attitude and how he approaches the game? If he's aggressive, does that inherently make you play more aggressive within the scheme, or am I making too much of that?
Yeah, because you know, you'll just know based off the energy, you know, basically what time it is. Like, if you know your coach is like, hey, like, go for it, just go for it, then you feel that.
Yeah.
During a post game interview with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, you know, after he threw his second pick, he said that he went to the sideline. Andy Reid was like, just keep firing away, just keep throwing it. Yeah. Don't even worry about it. Just keep firing away.
I did not think Mahomes was particularly sharp. I thought the best work that he did was to only be sacked, what, three times?
Right.
Like, he was under duress a lot, but there were just some throws that were, I felt, uncharacteristically off. And setting a very high bar, because I thought he was good, but it feels like he's special. Like, he throws guys open, or if they're open, he doesn't miss the throw. And there was a couple times where I thought, that throw was either late or behind or low or whatever it might be. So obviously he made enough plays to win the game, and he was big down the stretch, but I just it didn't feel like one of the best Patrick Mahomes performances that I've seen.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, he was about 50% today,
mm-hmm.
Almost. Well, 26 out of 42, a little over. 286 yards, two TDs, and two picks. That was his only two interception game all year.
Right.
And I didn't think he played particularly well. Right after the game ended, I was like, oh, Damian Williams is the MVP. No question about it.
Right.
Like, he was the consistent,
yes,
player the entire time.
I'm with you.
Yeah, that's who I thought was the MVP.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Is there any, when it comes to the players, is there, and whatever it might be, it's not necessarily MVP Super Bowl, but just all of the attention, is there ever any feeling like he's getting that attention because he's the quarterback?
Of course.
Not because he was the most instrumental piece in the win, but because he was the quarterback.
No, there's no question about it. It's funny because somebody tweeted at me how the Super Bowl, when they came back and beat Atlanta, James White should have been the MVP. However, they give it to Tom Brady.
Right.
James White went off that game. And they were like, they're not going to give it to Damian Williams, because if they didn't give it to James White, Damian's not getting the MVP. And sure, that's exactly what happened. So they might as well just say, hey, if you're the quarterback, you're going to get it, unless you have some astronomical numbers like Julian Edelman did last year. Oh, man.
All right.
Dude, so, by the way, I you know me, I go to Shauna's mother's house every Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I literally ate for like 3 hours straight.
And what were you eating? That's the most important thing.
Yeah, so she was trying to rush us to get there because she had like kind of appetizers ready at noon.
Okay.
So she went out and got Wingstop. Okay.
Okay.
All good. Ate the Wingstop.
Yeah.
Had some champagne with the Wingstop.
Nice.
And yeah, no. And then
not typical fare, not a typical combination, but hey,
but it is like, yeah. Actually, fried chicken and champagne is one of the greatest pairings of all time.
Okay. Fried chicken, wings is a little different.
Wings is fried.
I get that, but you know what I'm saying? There's a difference between wings and fried chicken. And even that with champagne, I kind of get it.
Wings are fried chicken, some with sauce and some without sauce.
Well, and the sauce makes a big difference.
It does.
When it comes to your palate.
It does. Anyhow.
I can't believe we're having this argument, but okay.
It's not an argument. It's just a
debate. Conversation.
It's not even a debate. It's exactly. Yeah. It's a
spirited conversation.
So that, and then made grilled hot dogs. So I made a chili dog. I haven't had a chili dog in forever. So I had one of those, and then she made this big, giant thing of steak nachos.
Oh wow!
I ate the steak nachos, and kept going back to the wings, and then the nachos, and the wings. And then I had more champagne, and then she had some Cantina Malbec, and I had some of that, which was outstanding, 2017. And I just kept going back and forth, and next thing you know, I'm like struggling.
So what was the body that you were working on? What did you call it?
TV body. Yeah.
Okay.
However,
is this part of that regimen?
No, this was like, you know, this is Super Bowl. This was Sunday. I'm going to end it right.
Okay.
So I actually went to my chiropractor and I did do a scan because I was like, man, I'm trying to – it's funny. I was like, I want to lose weight, probably around 10, 12 pounds, get back to like where I was when I was playing kind of.
Okay.
And he looked at me. He said, why are you trying to lose weight? You trying to model? I was like, wow. That's his personality. He messes with me a lot.
Yeah. And you said, I'm trying to catch up with my son. Because he is modeling.
I told him the same thing, TV body, I just want to be right. And he goes, you look fine. He said, actually, more body fat is good for you now because you can, you know, your body can heal after playing football your whole life. I'm like, man, I don't. So I did a body scan.
Wait, what? Wait. Like fat helps you heal faster?
Yeah. To have a little more body fat is good for healing, also really good for your immune system. It's almost like armor in a sense. Okay. So you're not so depleted. So
there's some people out there listening right now. They're going to run with that.
That's what I said. Let me take my body scan. So I went and I'm weighing 221 right now.
Okay. And you are how tall?
6'1".
Okay.
6'1", 221. I played at 208, by the way.
Okay.
But I'm 12% body fat. I'm not mad at that.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's good.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that.
That's still pretty damn fit. What was your body fat when you played?
About 7, 7, 8.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
That's very good. That's very good. Soccer player, I think mine was 6. And I'm not just saying that because it's 1% better than yours. I just remember that. I got down to 3% once. That was too low. All right. The one other, I was hosting a party. By the way, we had a friend of mine grew up in Beaumont, Texas, brought 7 pounds of brisket. That was off the chain. We had a number of people contribute to the fair, and it was impressive. My guests turned it out. My wife did her usual job, but some people brought to assist, and it was fantastic. So I was hosting this party, trying to watch as much of the game as I could, stay on top of it. But the play, the 3rd and 15, and I kind of said this in the second half, I was like, when they got stuck in that 3rd and 15, it was about a little over seven minutes left. And my feeling was, okay, this is when the Mahomes magic happens or it doesn't. And sure enough, they're on their own 35 and he connects on a 44-yard pass play with Tyreek Hill, who just kind of, you can tell me what the name of the route was, but ends up on the left side of the field, circled by 49ers defenders, but nobody close enough to challenge him. And Mahomes just kind of floated it up there. I mean, it wasn't actually a well-thrown ball.
But it was a perfect float.
But it was a perfect float, dropped it right into the space. But it seemed as if they had done such a good job of not letting Tyreek get over the top. They were playing really deep to not allow that to happen, to keep everything in front of them. But also, I never felt like he really gutted them until that play.
Right.
So tell me from a defensive back's viewpoint, what happened? Why did that happen on 3rd and 15?
Yeah, they were actually there were a couple of situations. You know, Sammy Watkins was always available when they needed to play.
That's true.
And I just felt like that side of the ball was not as disciplined as they needed to be. But that's the one thing of Mahomes. You look at these numbers and you're like, damn, he didn't, you know, he played okay, but not to his standards. But you know who else has numbers like this sometimes? Is Russell Wilson.
Right.
But the key thing is they make the plays when they need to.
Right.
And every time there was like, you know, it was a stall moment, you look like something was not going to happen, boom, he just made a play. It's like, yeah, he threw two picks, but guess what? That's because he's trying to win. Like, he's going for it. It wasn't the Jimmy G guy hit and just chucked it up in the air. It was, you know, one of those passes where I trust my arm and I'm going to try to get it there. Terry Bradshaw on pregame show was saying that they compare him in that realm of like Favre and Elway and Marino. And, you know, Bradshaw was like, yeah, but those guys can also get themselves into trouble because they know they can throw the ball anywhere.
The other part of it is that he was able to keep plays alive with his legs. And I felt as if the 49ers were not as and obviously over the course of the season they struggled the most with mobile quarterbacks, but that the dynamics of their defense changed once a guy was able to escape that pressure in the pocket, and that's when they were at their most vulnerable. I feel like that was the real difference with Mahomes, is that when he extended plays, there always seemed to be somebody open, able to get them the yardage they needed on that particular play. And I mean like wide open. It was almost like the 49ers went from this concise defense to, oh, we're going to roll out or we're going to scramble. And now suddenly, what is it about them that left them that way? Like where was the weakness that exposed?
The weakness in San Fran?
Yes.
Well, I mean, they were going to play a lot of zone because man for man, they can't keep up. That's just a known fact. Yeah. And you've seen it on the one play, you know, where Sherman missed the jam, and Sammy Watkins just took off.
Right.
And that's the biggest thing. So they definitely did a good job in terms of netting the field and trying to let their pass rush get there in time.
Right.
And hopefully it's long enough where no one gets open. But it was long enough.
Right.
It was long enough where Mahomes can find somebody.
So once that pressure did not shut him down, now there are going to be pockets for receivers to drop into, and all he has to do is find them.
Yeah, because guess what? Now the pass rushers are tired.
Right.
They're tired chasing this guy around for 5-6 seconds.
Right. Well, but even – I got to say, you know, the pocket held up fairly well in a lot of situations. It might have been cramped. There might have been a lot of activity. But I thought the Chiefs – offensive line did a pretty remarkable job overall, considering who they were playing against.
Right, I agree. By the way, there is Troy Aikman's getting lit up right now.
Because what?
Because I saw this earlier today. Because the Athletic Kansas City said, in case you missed it, this is 18 weeks ago. Patrick Mahomes has thrown 36% of Troy Aikman's career touchdowns in about 8% of his games. And so Troy Aikman responded. This is the beginning of the year. He responded, in case you missed it, talk to me when he has 33% of my Super Bowl titles. Guess what?
Oh! Oh!
Guess who has 33% of your Super Bowl titles?
Indeed. Indeed. Oh,
he is getting cooked right now. Yeah. Oh, one guy said rent's due, Troy.
he set himself up. That's unfortunate.
But that was so long. It was September, you know, but still it's like, hey man.
People don't forget. They do not. The memory on social media is very, very long.
They got receipts out there, man.
They got receipts, 100%. By the way, so we talked a lot about, and I'm going to actually do this. You ate a lot today. I ate a lot today. But I'm going to get a workout in before I shut it down. And you know I'm going to get a workout in? I'm going to get a workout in on my spin bike at home. And I can because I have an app called CycleCast. CycleCast. And if you get a chance, look it up now while you listen to the rest of the podcast. If you're tired of making new playlists, or you're looking for someone to keep you motivated with new routines, this is the beauty of going on there, is that I know that someone's going to take me through 45 minutes and I'm going to go to bed feeling good. They provide studio quality classes for both indoor cycling and running workouts. And you can use the app on your iOS or Android phone. It takes up minimal battery and data, and it gives you an array of instructors, all of them providing their own unique ride plans synchronized with songs and beats that will make you forget you're working your butt off. Well, almost make you forget. Now, the monthly subscription is ridiculously low. I'm not even going to give it to you because it's like literally pennies on the dollar for every time you use it. But right now, you don't have to spend a dime. If you download the CycleCast app and use the promotional code BUCHER, B-U-C-H-E-R, you'll get 4 free additional weeks on top of your free 7-day trial. That's CycleCast, CycleCast. And don't forget to use the promotional code BUCHER, BUCHER, to get 5 free weeks of guided workouts with killer soundtracks. CycleCast, you're going to love where this app takes you. All right, Tom Brady.
Hold on, man. You didn't even see what I had in my hand.
I didn't see what you had. Oh! You got your cycling shoes.
It got serious.
Nice.
It got serious.
So, I know you. It looks like, from the photos that I've seen, the Instagrams I've seen, photos of you, that you have a Kaiser bike like I do. Is that correct?
I didn't know you had one, but yes, I have one.
Yes. I think it's one of the best bikes out there. I know they're...
I love the pneumatic.
Yeah. But you got the shoes. I got the toe clips, but I don't have the clip-in shoes. Man, you did get serious. Now, what inspired you to get serious?
Well, I had my bike for a while, and I wanted some legit clip-in. So yep. I had these for a little while. I actually have my mountain bike ones here too, because I go with my neighbor sometimes and mountain bike. So
very cool.
I got to get the three hole for my CD shoes, my Romania shoes.
Well, if you're,
I can't run as much as I like running, yeah. But I got tons of arthritis everywhere.
Dude.
I just look like this, but
oh my God.
Deep inside, dude.
Here we go.
I'm saying, you know? I'm laying on the floor, and my daughter, she sees a scar in my hip.
Yeah.
And she was like, "Daddy, what's that scar for?" I said, "Because when Daddy broke his foot, they took some bone marrow out of my hip and put it in my foot." She thought it was the weirdest thing.
Wow.
She's five.
Yeah.
So
she's gonna learn a lot about physiology and biology and anatomy and all that stuff, knowing what her dad went through playing the NFL. That's what I, you know, funny, just as an aside before we get on to Tom Brady and his commercial, one of the prop bet questions, I did prop bet sheets, and one of the questions was, will they mention that Raheem Mostert is a surfer? And they did, but a friend of mine told me, did you know that they added surfing to the activities that he's not allowed to participate in? There's usually a standard contract out there, you know, hang gliding, I don't know, a bunch of different things where you're not allowed to do skiing, et cetera, et cetera. I didn't know surfing was on the list, and I don't know if that's specifically for Raheem, but I do have to laugh a little bit. Like, you play football, okay? You play football in the NFL. As if any other sporting activity could possibly be as dangerous or physically threatening as playing football. It seems a little crazy to me. No?
That's how I feel about it. Don't surf, don't snowboard, don't ski. I skateboard, so I should have done that.
So you have no room to talk.
I shouldn't have. I know. My wife, she bought me a skateboard that goes about 25 miles an hour.
Oh, wait a minute. You got the electric?
I got an electric one, yeah.
The electric skateboard. Is it the single wheel?
No, it's
the
a regular,
big wheel in the middle?
It's a long board.
Oh, it's a long board. Okay, electric longboard. And you got the
remote.
Accelerator in your hand.
Gone.
Nice. Very
danger
nice.
Zone.
Oh, bet. I bet. All right. Tom Brady and his commercial.
So he sends out a cryptic tweet, just him walking. They didn't know if he was walking to the field or leaving the field in the stadium. It was a black and white photo. So everyone's like, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Then I remember Shannon Sharp went off saying, like, you're selfish. This is not about you. Da, 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 da. And then, you know, how are you going to announce your retirement? This, that, and the third. And actually, I want to give credit to Skip Bayless. He actually called it. Unless he knew and got some insight, you know, information, he was like, this is probably some advertisement for the Super Bowl, you know, da 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 da.
Which is very, it's very possible that he had insight. Like somebody tipped him off.
Why, and his agent?
Yeah, or just somebody in the business, because that's the one thing I will say about the guys that I work with at FS1, whether it's Colin or it's Skip, obviously Shannon with his connections, Jason Whitlock, same thing, Marcellus Wiley, even the non-pro athlete, with they have their connections and they do their homework. So when they say things, it's informed by what they've been told. Now, we don't, me included, we're not always right. The people giving us information aren't always accurate, but we are giving you informed opinions based on, in many cases, what we're hearing from people in the league. So I don't know if that was the case with Skip, but I'm just saying I've learned from the guys that I'm, you know, now working with the FS1 on a regular basis, like they're on the phone, they're texting, they're going out to dinner, they are talking to people in the business.
So end up being a commercial saying, you know, I'm not done, blah 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 blah.
Right. Here's
Hulu. It was a Hulu commercial.
Right, right.
However, people really started getting the detail, like, oh, you know, it's in the commercials in black and white because there's rumors that the Raiders might be interested because he had a conversation, you know, with Mark Davis. I'm like, oh my gosh, relax.
What about the rumor that he was going to Tennessee because supposedly the Bradys were looking at the school systems in the Nashville area? Now, which is really weird because I think it was the rumor has since been knocked down, But that's how the LeBron stuff to LA started, or there was one of the early confirmations, is that they were looking at schools in LA, they were looking at Sierra Canyon. That to me always, you know, whether it's buying a house in outside of a, you know, a exotic location, you always have to be careful when it comes to LA with something like that. But if Brady was looking at real estate or he's looking at school systems, that to me is he's investigating something beyond just getting, you know, moving there after retirement or whatever. I don't see the Brady's necessarily moving to Nashville for his postseason career. I actually don't see him going to Nashville at all, even though Mike Vrabel obviously is the Patriot connection. And I don't know. There's a lot there where you could, I could see that from a football standpoint. I think from everything else, it's hard for me to imagine Brady going there. But it's really hard for me to imagine him going to the Raiders. Is
yeah, I don't get that either.
Yeah. Where
he's linked to San Diego. I mean, LA yeah. Chargers. I see that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you want to go somewhere turnkey.
Yeah.
And that's, I can see that for that situation.
Makes a lot of sense, even Tennessee. Yeah. Well, and it's, you know, not that, I mean, it's kind of difficult with Tennessee. Do you really want to go to Brady with what Tannehill showed you? I feel like you have your quarterback.
Tom could do the same thing.
No, I get that, but the age difference. Wouldn't you rather?
Listen, everyone's in the win now situation, man.
Okay.
It's all like right. the no one's waiting for anyone anymore. That's what's changed.
Okay, but when it comes to the Raiders, like I look at the Raiders, I go, why would Brady want to be part of that?
That's why I don't see that. The Titans were just in the AFC Championship game.
Right.
I mean yeah. So I see that when you're this close, you're like, okay, Tannehill didn't make the plays he needed to make.
Right.
He wasn't the guy to begin with. He just ended up being the guy because they just went to him. So there right now there is no future quarterback. Yeah. There is no future quarterback at the Chargers.
All right. So the one other thing I promised that we would talk about is the reaction. And I meant to say this when we were talking about it at the beginning of the podcast. Do you think that the Kobe Bryant, the loss of Kobe Bryant, obviously it affected the basketball universe. Do you think it affected the guys that were preparing for the Super Bowl? Do you think that the players were emotionally distracted or had to overcome something as a result of that?
Wholeheartedly. It was very difficult. The biggest thing, a lot of people said it. I know Randall Cobb said it. I saw Zach Ertz say it when I was watching the commercials today, or the thing about Kobe. But like even myself, I never felt this way about somebody I never met. Never met Kobe. And when I saw that it was legit, hit me like a ton of bricks.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so I can only imagine what it did for everyone else. Because, you know, for the guys who are, you know, 8+ years in the NFL, Kobe is their Jordan, basically. The immortal basketball player. And I say those years because the younger generation is LeBron for them.
Right.
And it was just crazy. And I can only imagine, especially, you know, guys like Richard Sherman, who's super close with Kobe, and Kobe had played in his softball events. Sherman's from LA, and they both have the Body Armor sponsorship together. So I know somebody like him affected, but it did. It affected everyone.
The number of people that had their own personal Kobe stories in the aftermath really surprised me. I mean, I had some. I covered the league. I was as closely associated with him as any reporter was by virtue of his
right.
granting me that. But the number of people who had stories, it just struck me. Personal anecdotes about time spent with him in unique situations really surprised me. How many people, and I think also the fatherhood, seeing him in fatherhood, being very open and out front with coaching. I mean, think about it. He's coaching high school girls. And I even told, I was heard a story about how he was planning to put kind of the girls' version of Sierra Canyon, where Dwayne Wade's son is playing and LeBron's son is playing. He was going to get Shaq's daughter, and he was putting together the girls' version of that, and he was going to coach that team. But that was part of his plan. But he was very open about that, and I think there's a lot of people that weren't even basketball fans necessarily who really identified with that view of Kobe.
You know, go ahead. Sorry.
No. That's.
I think. No, and I watched Djokovic, you know, win his 17th Grand Slam, I believe it was, title, I forget what it was, but he won. He won his match and.
Yeah, did he beat Federer?
No, he did. No, that's not the one he won. Okay. He the one over in Australia, the Australia Open, right. And he just talked about in his post game interview that his post match interview is that he lost one of his biggest mentors, and that was Kobe.
Yeah, that's the number of guys that he talked to in various sports we didn't know. And
yeah, Djokovic is top three all time men, yes, in tennis.
But that was that. Never advertised. I mean, the thing, the people that Kobe was talking to and working with and helping was, again, and that's what I loved about that. I loved about his philanthropy, the number of kids that he was going to see and the things that he was going to do, and whether it was make a wish. And he did not want any publicity when it came to those things. That speaks volumes. And
because that's what it is.
Yeah.
When you want to reach and you legit want to reach and touch somebody and move that person, that's not how it is.
Yeah.
The way I led, and I was never the big rah-rah leadership type guy playing, but guys felt comfortable to come to me in private and express whatever they needed help with, whether it was personally, whether it was football wise, whether it was anything else.
Right.
You know, so that's why I have such a wide network of people, because we spoke in private about something in that particular. I think one of the funniest stories was Lou Williams told the story of where they came out to one game and he was furious with them. They lost the game. And he was like, from now on, like when we come to the court, I always touch the balls. I always touch the ball when we come down the court. And then I guess they lost the game. When he came to the half, he came to the locker room. He was like, he called all of us soft. He said, we're effing soft. And he took the shoes that he gave us. He took them all back.
Oh, my. Yeah, so what did you make of the Lakers' performance in the first game that they played Friday night, losing to the Blazers 127,
right,
119? And really were, I can't remember if it was wire to wire, but it wasn't close. The Blazers got up.
It was the Dame show.
Yes, Damian Lillard dominated. And I guess what troubles me, and maybe I'm not being fair, but what troubles me is the idea that the loss, blaming Kobe, losing Kobe, the loss on Kobe, because I felt as if, one, the Blazers, I mean, every player in the league felt
everyone
the loss
was affected
of Kobe, right? And
right.
And I would have thought, you go out for that game and you go, no way in hell are we losing this game. And I'm going to put out a Kobe-like effort to honor him. And I didn't see that from the Lakers. I didn't. It wasn't, I mean, the Blazers obviously are playing well. The addition of Trevor Ariza has done wonders for them. It gives them a legitimate guy who can defend threes, and he's a vet. He knows how to play. But I just, it was a disappointing performance. And I just can't, you know, give the excuse that it was because of the week and Kobe and all that, because everybody else went through that.
Yeah. Well, I know Kyrie took the day off too, like when it happened.
Right. And then came out with 54 and then was invisible against the Wizards. Like,
yeah.
This is the problem that I have, honestly, is with the guys who say, you know, I'm going to honor Kobe or I'm like Kobe or anything.
Oh, I had the Mamba mentality.
And I have them, exactly. Yeah. And my thought is, the thing about Kobe was, he gave it to you every night.
It didn't matter what he was dealing with.
And you don't, and yeah, I mean, Colorado.
Right.
And how he played through that. And any number of things that he played through emotionally and didn't allow them to affect his game. But also, he gave it to you every night.
Right.
Like, there weren't nights off. There wasn't, I'm going to give you a great performance and then I'm not going to be visible the next night. That was the essence of Kobe and Jordan. And so it troubles me when these guys try to claim this association when I'm like,
they don't get it. It's different. There's one thing in terms of being a talented basketball player where, yes, I can give you 50.
Yeah.
But it's different when you have when it's that mindset. You know, I put that in a category of, yes, you have Kobe. Tiger, you know, one of the greatest comebacks of all time for a profession after what he, you know, put himself through. I remember, you know, Monday Night Football, a day after Brett Favre lost his father.
Hmm.
Brett Favre threw for 400 yards and 4 TDs.
Yeah.
And blew out the Raiders.
Yeah.
The day after on national TV, you know, it is like I said, I totally understand it in terms of people grieving, but like everyone's going to go through stuff and you have to continue. I learned the hard way, because when I lost my mother when I was young, 6 years old, literally the next day, everyone just went about their business. My dad went to work.
Hmm.
I signed up for football. I went to football practice. There was never any grieving for that. So, unfortunately, I learned, okay, yes, you're going to go through stuff, but you still have to continue. Wow. I never used my mother's, you know, passing as an excuse for anything. I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to live for her. I'm going to keep achieving things. I know she's going to be proud. And yes, it's always going to be tough. Always. But I continue to go.
Did you ever grieve at a later date?
Yeah, I grieve when I got older.
Yeah.
Because I noticed certain characteristics in me where I became very, very cold. And right, I'm able to, whatever is going on.
Right.
I can move on and keep going. That's a good and bad thing. And I was trying to think, like, where did that come from? It came from that. So I eventually finally did and finally talked to my dad and, you know, had a moment to grieve as I got older.
How old were you?
When she passed?
No, when you had that.
It was about 30. It was recent. It was like 30. I'm 35 really? Now. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow, you carried that a long time.
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting. All right. So yep. before we go, I just wonder what. Now, you never went to a Super Bowl and lost.
I have not.
You went to the Super Bowl and won. But you did lose. I wonder from with this huge game, like, what's the feeling after you've won it and everything dies down? Like, what's the feeling of that? And what's the feeling on the other side where there's all this build up? You've reached the top of the mountain, and yet everybody is going to remember what the Chiefs did and what the 49ers didn't do. Like, finishing second, you know, it's a little bit like the Bills losing 4 Super Bowls. Like, that's an amazing accomplishment, going to 4 Super Bowls. But people do not celebrate them as great. They celebrate them or they remember them as missed opportunities. And I just wonder how massive is the difference between the feeling you have of getting it done and not.
Yeah, the feeling of getting it done is like, it's like a movie, you know. It's the cliche of all the blood, sweat, and tears, the broken bones, and, you know, the torn muscles, and what all that stuff, you know. This the truth. Because once you have finally achieved that and you won the Super Bowl, all that stuff was worth it.
Yeah.
All the prescriptions, all the anesthesia, all the surgeries, all the treatment, you know, getting up all early and getting yelled at and getting beat up and all that stuff is, I would do it all over again. Hmm. Is it worth it? Damn right. Hmm. Of course, it is. It's something that you can forever, ever talk about. You know, I go somewhere and, that's the title. Super Bowl champ is the title.
Can you imagine what it would have felt like if you had walked away from that game not winning? Would you
never. Never. I never imagined it, because even going into that game, I never imagined losing. I never even saw us losing at all. And I just felt as a whole, especially the way we were rolling that year in 2011, I felt like everything was for us. And I didn't even picture like, oh, what if? I never even when we won, I didn't even think about what they were thinking when they lost.
Did you ever have that feeling? Did you ever have that feeling like we're going to win, things are rolling for us, and you didn't win?
I felt like that. I feel like that. Yeah, 2007, when I was in the Packers and we had the first round bye. I think we were number one seed, or we ended up becoming the number two seed. I think we lost to the Bears and they messed it up for us, but we still got the bye, and you know, we got into the playoffs. We beat everybody we need to beat. And then we had the Giants coming to our area in the freezing cold, and we already smacked them that year. And I was like, oh, dude, it's like no question. We're going to beat them. Like, I bought a Super Bowl suit and everything. Like, I was ready to go.
Wow.
Right. I was ready to go. I was like, there is no doubt.
So what did you – so what happened that you did not take into account?
That they legit came to win. They did not care. You know, they did not care. We had a chance, you know, to still win. The game went to overtime, but they came to play. Period. That's just what it was. They came to play. It's like, there's a reason you're in a championship game, the conference championship game. You went through something. You can't get there by accident. Yep. That's just not how it works.
Very
true. You can't get there by accident.
Very true.
You do what you need to do.
All right. It was Super Bowl 54. I believe we've gone roughly 54 minutes on this podcast. Yes.
Look at you.
Yes.
We'll end it now.
That's where it end. We and we are. So I want to remind all of you to please rate and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you want us to do something for you, screenshot that review and send it to Bucher Friends, and you will be eligible to win some prizes. But the ratings and the reviews really do help us, and we don't charge for this. It's free content, and that would be your way of repaying us. Whatever the review might be, we're happy to receive it. I will be doing a podcast with Ryan Hollins this week. I'm also going to do another Bucher Friendless podcast, because there are some Kobe stories that I have that I did not get into that I do want to share before all is said and done. So with all that, hope all of you enjoyed the Super Bowl and had a safe and happy weekend. We now roll on into the NBA season. But for Will and myself, as always, thanks for listening.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row,
Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.